It. Gee, my ears are blessed. Good job, guys. How many of you guys got the Calvary Chapel magazine? And how many of you guys don't have it and don't care? Raise your hand. You're not going to go outside. Okay, you can have this. It's free outside. You can pick it up. And some of you guys have a daily devotion and some of you don't. As of now, we are going to have a daily devotion. Everybody understood? If you're a Christian, you need a daily devotion. If you're going to feed your body, physical body, you need to feed your spiritual body. To do that, we will provide you our daily bread. It starts from September. Don't say, oh, I'll start from September. We have August 1, too, so if you need it. Okay, everyone get this. Everyone, individually, okay? Please give them out. Here. You get everything. That's not the only thing you get. We have more. Those who receive the bulletin, you have inside Maldives. It's a little country in the Indian Ocean. What we do is we pray for the country that are not Christian country for them every day for a month. And there's a lot of people who are persecuted in their country. Please pray for them. While you're distributing that, we have a mission journal assist. If you're interested, if you have a mind and heart for the missions, please raise your hand. So you get it again. See, you not only bless people, you get blessed. All right. If you don't have a Bible, would you raise your hand, please? If you don't have a Bible. Keep your hands up, please, so we can hand out the Bible to you. Turn your Bible with me to Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. Keep your hands up if you don't have a Bible. One more here. Bobby, the worship leader, does not have a Bible. He come to the Calvary Chapel, sorry, that he doesn't have a Bible. Everybody go like this. Shame, shame. Next time you bring the Bible. Oh, don't come. Okay, let's start. Is somebody recording this? Okay, good. Days of our lives, passions as the world turns, guiding light, one life to live, General Hospital, young and restless, and all my children. Sounds familiar? What are they in common? Soap opera. All right. They are the soap opera, and I'm sure all of you noticed, and none of the people in the soap opera, they work. Did you notice that? And they're all rich, and they don't go to work. And all of them, just about every one of them, is a good-looking guys, good-looking and well-built. The ladies are slender and beautiful. And when they get out of bed in the morning, every hair in the place and makeup's done. I'm sure the ladies would love to find out what the secret method they have. And they have a very interesting way to converse one another. Troy, come over here, please. He didn't know he's pulling that. The way they converse with one another is, you stand over there, like the, no, this way. And I turn around, I talk to the person. Did you notice that in the soap opera? The reason is because they are so such a lousy actors and actress, the person here had to read the line. So I can talk to the, when was the last time you talked to somebody in the back of their head? You don't. And not only that, if one character get killed, all out of blue, they have identical twins. They never talk about it all this time, last 20 years, and there's an identical twin popping up. If that person gets killed, another twin comes up. Triplet. What kinds of problem do we have in the soap opera? The characters exaggerated. The plot is twisted. And just about everyone sleeps with everyone. It's so complicated, you need a computer to trace who's sleeping with who. We are going to see the four characters in these chapters, two chapters, chapter 26 and chapter 27. Just about they would fit into any soap opera, and actually they would make the soap opera look like a nothing. Let's go to chapter 26 of Genesis, and we will pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the rain. We thank you for each and every day that you made, and we rejoice. We thank you for your loving Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, not for his own, for us, that we may have eternal life in Christ Jesus. Let us not take for granted what your Son did for us. And you gave Holy Spirit as a deposit, as a down payment in our heart, that may guarantee our eternal life. Our hearts open, our Bibles open to receive your instruction. We especially lift up those who are in uniforms around this community. Firemen and the police officers and paramedics. And we also lift up our military men and women around the world. We are asking you to watch over them and keep them safe. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 26 in Genesis. There was a famine in the land. I don't think we have a same problem here. Besides, the first famine was in the day of Abraham, and Isaac went to the Abimelech, the king of Palestine, in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, "Do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For you, to you, your descendants, I will give all this land. I will perform the oath which I swore to the Abraham your father, and I will make your descendants multiply as the stars of heaven. I will give to you a descendant all this land, and in your seed all nations of the earth shall be blessed. Because Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandment, my statutes, and my laws." We remember that from the study, the previous study, we remember that Abraham was not consistent and complete in faith. However, God is telling us that he did a good job. Why? Because he by faith, he believed God, and it was counted as imputed as righteousness. In addition to that, God is giving Isaac definite instruction: do not go to Egypt. Stay here. Now, what we are going to find out is Isaac is doing exactly the same thing what his father Abraham did. We'll find it in verse 6. So Isaac dwelt in the Gerar, and the man of the place asked about his wife and said, "She is my sister." For he was afraid to say, "She is my wife," because he thought, "Lest the man of the place kill me for Rebekah, because she is beautiful to behold." Now it came to pass when he had been there for a long time, Abimelech, king of the Philistines, looked down through the window and saw there was Isaac showing endowment to Rebekah, his wife. Then Abimelech called Isaac and said, "Quite obviously she is your wife. So how could you say that she is my sister?" And Isaac said to him, "Because I said, lest I die on account of her." Abimelech said, "What is this you have done to us? One of the people might soon have lain with your wife, and you would have brought the guilt on us." So Abimelech charged all his people, saying, "He who touched this man or his wife shall surely be put to death." As I said before, this guy, Isaac, is committing the sin of deception, just like his father did in previous chapter 20 and chapter 12, saying that this is my wife, and this is my sister, instead of saying, "This is my wife." Because he was trying to save his own skin. He's depending on his own scheme or whatever plan. How can he go from the high spiritual experience with God, meeting God and learning from him what he needs to do to this kind of horrible, low-down sin? Very easy, because he's trying to depend on his own weakness and trying to save his own skin. On the contrary to some of the theologians, how many of you guys heard the word generational curse? How many of you guys heard generational curse? Some of you did and some of you haven't. Generational curse of theology is that some people believe that because your father or grandfather did this kind of thing, you end up doing it. What is the problem with that? Bible does not support it. There's no such a thing as generational curse. However, there is a problem with some of the people who live within that kind of environment because father, grandfather did and father did, and you see the kind of example and you end up committing sin by your own choice, by my own choice. Generational curse theology is, in my opinion, is hogwash. The reason is that it's nothing more than finger pointing. Just like Adam did, the woman you gave to me made me to do it, or Satan made me to do it. There's no such a thing as somebody make you to do it. Even Satan cannot make you to do it. You choose to do it, I choose to do it. So be a man, be a godly man, take a responsibility over your sin and my sin. Okay, no more finger pointing. As a Christian, we don't have to repeat our parents' sin. No, we have to stay in our own sin area. You know why? Because of what the Word of God says. Once we come to know Jesus Christ, we are new creation. All the things pass away. All things. A-L-L. Everything are new. So if you want to dwell in the past sin, that's your choice. Nobody's choice. Nobody's making you do it. Some people say, well, it's just a little lie. Little white lie. Well, is there anything as such as a white lie, red lie, and a blue lie, and black lie? Lie is a lie. If everything is not true, it is what? Lie. Is a lie sin? Yes. A little lie is like a little pregnancy. Okay, ladies? Tell me, either you are pregnant or you are not pregnant, correct? Little lie is like a little pregnancy. Either it's a lie or it's not a lie. But it is a lie. On top of a little lie, it's like a pregnancy. As time goes by, it gets bigger and bigger. Let me put it this way. Our ability to lie is our liability to sin. Keep that in your mind, please. Let's continue in verse 12. I'm not going to read all of that. Please note on the underline in verse 20, there is a word esek, E-S-E-K. In verse 21, word sitna, S-I-T-N-A-H. In verse 22, Rehoboth. Underline those three words. I'll summarize what is here. Isaac is getting bigger, and his property is getting bigger and bigger because God is prospering him. So he's getting richer and mightier than the people around him in the Philistine land. So Philistine land king Abimelech said, "Go away." And he went away, and he found a well, and he digged a well. And first well was when he digged out the first well, then people from the Philistines said, "No, it's ours." Instead of fighting over the well, he left, but he called that well Esek. And then he did the same thing for the second well, and again the Philistine people came, and they argued with him, so he left, and he called it Sitna. And third well they dig out, and this time nobody was harassing him. So he called it Rehoboth. What is the difference in these names? And I will go there. Last paragraph, Isaac sinned against God and with a deception. Somehow, we don't see any way and God is punishing him for his deception. Does it mean he went through scot-free? No. We will pretty soon find out in chapter 27 that he is the one who will be deceived by his own son terribly. Remember this, guys. God's millstone does not turn fast. As a matter of fact, it turns very slowly. That means his mercy and grace is exceedingly good. However, when his millstone grinds, it grinds exceedingly fine. That means if you sin against God, it will find you out. First well is contention. It means, and the second well is hostility. And third well is roominess. There's enough room for anyone to have. So instead of fighting over the well, Isaac simply moved on. Let's go to Romans. Keep your finger in chapter 26 of Genesis. Let's go to Romans chapter 12, please. Nowadays, people say, vengeance is mine, I will revenge them. Or, you come after me, I'll come after you with a baseball bat. That's the concept. This is something what we are supposed to do. Chapter 12 of Romans, verse 18, please. So if you're thinking about bashing somebody's head with a baseball bat, let this thing to stop you. It reads, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Instead of fighting over that, just back out. Make a peace. I'm not saying that you, if somebody hits you on the side of your head, take your another side and say, bash me again. I'm talking about insult. Okay? Again, back to chapter 26 of Genesis. This time, Abimelech brought a couple of his guys and to Isaac and asking him to make a peace because he realized God is with this Isaac. So they make a peace and then they go away, they take apart. Although Isaac almost seems like a weak person, he is not a weak person. He couldn't put up a good fight. But he chose not one more verse to take a look at. Proverbs chapter 16, please. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs is located right after Psalm in the Old Testament. Chapter 16. Verse 7. When man's way pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemy to be at peace with him. This is a great example. If you have a problem, talk to God and make a peace as much as depends on you. On verse 34, let's read in verse 34, chapter 26. When Esau was 40 years old, he took as wife, the Judith, the daughter of Beri, the Hittite, and Basemath, and the daughter of Elon, the Hittite. They were grieved of mind to Isaac and Rebekah. These two women are from the Hittite, and they are the foreign women. They don't worship the same God. See, I went over this before. We need to be equally yoked. If you're dating non-believers, if you're going to marry non-believers, you are asking for trouble. I guarantee you. And what God guarantee you? Esau didn't care about the God of his parents. No, he didn't care about the wish of his parents. He did whatever he wanted to do, whatever his carnal desire wanted to do. That is the reason why God hate him. Verse 1 of chapter 27, please. Now it came to pass when Isaac was old and his eyes were so dimmed and that he could not see, that he called Esau, his older son, and said to him, my son, and he answered him, yes, here I am. Then he said, behold, now I am old. I do not know the day of my death, but now, therefore, please take your weapons, your quiver and your bow, and go out to the field. Hunt the game for me and make me savory food such as I loved and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless you before I die. At this time, Isaac was 137 years old and he's talking like he's about to die. However, he didn't die for another 43 years. He died when he was 180 years old. He's telling Esau, I'm going to do this to you. Does he know that what God spoke to him in to Rebekah when she was pregnant with twins? God said to Rebekah, older will serve younger. In other words, Esau is not the one who's going to receive family blessing or the birthright. Now, he is trying to do exactly opposite of what God says. Why is he doing this? Does he know that God wins no matter what, but he's going against God. Why? What made him do such a thing? Number one, Okay, whatever. He's going by the what he wants. He's feeling, smelling, and touching. We will find out. He has this carnal desire for that particular food, and he's ignoring God's desire. Let me put it in our term. Whatever you want, whatever I want, should not override what God wants. What God wants always should go first. Folks, you cannot win against God in the fight. I cannot either. What makes us to think that we can do it? God will get his way no matter what. Guess who gets to suffer? We do. So don't fight over. Let's continue verse 5. Now Rebekah was listening when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son. By the way, I told you there's four characters. Number one, father, who is denying God's desire. And now we're finding mother, who is doubting God's way. Esau went to the field and to hunt game and bring it. So Rebekah spoke to Jacob, her son, saying, "Indeed, I heard your father speak to Esau, your brother, saying, bring me game and make savory food for me, that I may eat it and bless you in the presence of the Lord before my death. Now, therefore, my son, obey my voice according to what I command you. Go now to the flock and bring me from there two choice kids of the goat. I will make a savory food from them for your father, such as he loves. Then you shall take it to your father, and he may eat it, and that he may bless you before his death." Rebekah has been told by God again, older will serve the younger. But she doesn't want to take a chance with God by waiting for him. Since Isaac is doing this kind of thing, instead of waiting upon God, she's going to take care of her by herself. See, she's doing whatever it takes by flesh. She's not coming up with she's not depending on God for everything. Do you do that kind of thing? I do that kind of thing. Time to time. I try to stay away from that, my own effort. That's why I'm willing to wait upon God, even though it seems like I'm waiting way too long. I used to run ahead of God for everything. Guess what happened? He yanks me rein back. I have to come back. It's an ugly situation. If you're running ahead of God, stop. Stop. Because God will pull you back. And a lot of times, when we run ahead of God, we make a mess. Let's find out what his son, Jacob's going to do. Now he's the one who's going to deceive. So Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "Look, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth-skinned man, like me." You cannot see any hair there. Somebody asked me if I shave my arms. I don't. I have Indian blood, right? "Perhaps my father will feel me, and I shall seem to be the deceiver to him. I shall bring a curse on myself, not a blessing." But his mother said to him, "Let your curse be on me, my son. Only obey my voice and go. Get them for me." And he went and got them and brought them to his mother. His mother made a savory food such as his father loved. Then Rebekah took the choice clothes of her elder son Esau, which were with her in the house, put them on Jacob and her younger son. And she put the skin of the kid's goat on his hand and smoothed a part of his neck. Then she gave the savory food and the bread, which she had prepared, into the hands of her son Jacob. Jacob's noticed this, please. Jacob's concern is not whether this is the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do. His concern is whether I'm going to get caught or not. He's not concerned about right or wrong. When we are willing to abandon the question right or wrong, and our only concern is whatever it works, we have bought ourselves into the pragmatism. A lot of churches doing that too, known as psychosensitive. Some of you may not know about the psychosensitive church. It's happening. That's the newest one. They will dilute the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one pastor in Ohio, I read, he said, actually, can we lower the standard of gospel? How can you lower the standard of gospel? What is the foremost important thing in the gospel? Realizing and acknowledging that we are a sinner. If we don't do that, there's nothing happening. If we are not a sinner, why do we need atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Right? First thing first, we have to admit that we are sinner and we need Jesus. Otherwise, we cannot go to heaven. If we don't acknowledge that, we don't go anywhere. That's the bottom line, folks. And they want to reduce, they want to lower the standard of gospel. If that means there's another way to get to heaven. They said, well, bring the people to Christ. Bring the people to church. Then we'll talk about gospel. That doesn't work. Gospel offends people. If you notice, Jesus said he came to divide the family. He came to divide the kingdom. Not to make everybody feel good about it. We cannot dilute the gospel of Jesus Christ to make to please people. We have one person to please. That is God. The worst part of the whole thing is none of them thought that the blessing only depends on God. And blessing comes from Jesus Christ himself, not anyone else. Let's go to verse 18. So he went to his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am. Who are you, my son? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. There's a first lie. I have done just as you have told me. Please arise, sit and eat my game, and your soul may bless me. Verse 20. So, but Isaac said to his son, how is that you have found this so quickly, my son? And he said, pay attention to the next line, please. Because the Lord your God brought it to me. Verse 21. Then Isaac said to Jacob, please come near that I may feel you, my son, whether you are really my son Esau or not. So Jacob went near to Isaac, his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he did not recognize him because his hands were hairy like his brother Esau's hand. So he blessed him. Can you imagine how hairy this guy is, covered with goat? And yeah, that's Esau. Verse 24, then he said, are you really my son Esau? And he said, I am. Again, there's another lie. He said, bring it near to me, and I may eat of your son, my son's game, so that my soul may bless you. So he brought it near to him. He ate, and he brought him wine, and he drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, come near now and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him. He smelled the smell of his clothing and blessed him and said, surely the smell of my son is like a smell of a field. If somebody tells you that, that's not a compliment, folks. Which the Lord has blessed, and therefore may God give you of the dew of the heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of the grain and wine, and let people serve you and nations bow down to you and be master over your brethren, and let your mother's sons bow down to you. Cursed be everyone who curse you, and blessed be those who bless you. Apparently, the deodorant that Esau's been using is not working well. There was two guys working in the real tight environment, tight place, and one guy said, okay, the deodorant of one of us is now not working, it's quit working now. And the other guy said, it's not mine because I don't use it. See, Esau is the kind of guy who go out and hunt. And I'm a city slicker, real city slicker. In my eye, the wilderness is having a black and white TV in the hotel room. I don't care about the camping outside. If they don't have internet plug, that's out, completely out. I don't do that kind of thing. See, this Esau had a field smell, I guess, because he didn't smell. So, in other words, if you cannot see Esau, but you can still smell him, wherever he is. Let's continue the verse. Oh, one more thing. It doesn't matter what kinds of excuses Jacob was making. Birthright and family blessing belong to him, but he's trying to con his father. It doesn't matter what kinds of his excuse he come up with. To justify his action, it is wrong. Let's go to Numbers chapter 32. Numbers chapter 32. Numbers is the fourth book in the Old Testament. Numbers 32, please. You have sinned against the Lord. Be sure your sin will find you out. You might say, well, my sin is hidden. I do this in nobody knows. Guess what? What you've done in the inner chamber, it'll be shot from the rooftop. You can guarantee. I guarantee you. And Bible guarantee you. And God will make sure that it happens. Let's continue in chapter 27, Genesis verse 30. Now it happens. As soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob had scarcely gone out from the presence of Isaac, his father, Esau, his brother, came in from his hunting. He also had made savory food and brought it to his father and said to his father, "Let my father arise and eat of his son's game, and that your soul may bless me." So his father Isaac said to him, "Who are you?" And so he said, "I am your son, your firstborn Esau." Then Isaac trembled exceedingly, note that please, and said, "Who? Where is the one who hunted game and brought it to me? I had all of it, and before you came, and I have blessed him. Indeed, he shall be blessed." When Esau heard the word of his father, he cried with an exceedingly great and bitter cry. Said to his father, "Bless me and me also, my father." But he said, "Your brother came with the deceit and had taken away your blessing." And Esau said, Is it not rightly named Jacob? For he has supplanted me these two times. He took away my birthright, and now look, he has taken away my blessing." And he said, "Have you not reserved a blessing for me?" Then Isaac answered and said to Esau, "Indeed, I have made him your master, and all his brethren I have given to him as his servant. With the grains and wine I have sustained him. What shall I do now for you, my son?" So Esau said to his father, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me. Me also, my father." Esau lifted up his voice and wept. Isaac was troubled because he knew that he's tried to put God in the box. He tried to beat God. Guess who get beat? Beaten. Not God. It's Isaac. He realized that he is thoroughly beaten because he resists God's will. Esau saying that Jacob deceived him twice. Is it true? In chapter 25, we found out that Esau sold his birthright for what? Bowl of stew, bowl of red meat. Carne asada, whatever you call it. Red meat. So he didn't care about the spiritual thing. He would sell the spiritual blessing for the sake of a carnal desire. Let me put it in our term. What are you doing in your home and when nobody sees? Do you know what the spiritual maturity, how you can measure the spiritual maturity, not what you can do in front of other people? When you come to church, of course, we've all put out this holy side. Don't look at me like you don't do that. You do it. So far, I've seen everyone who put out, I haven't seen one person who added, his attitude is carnal in the church. When I do the ride along with the deputies in the sheriff department, guess what they do? They even watch their mouth. They watch their language. If they say something quickly and then they turn around, "Excuse me." They try very hard, and some of us do that. Our spiritual maturity can be measured behind closed doors when nobody sees. When nobody sees, what do we do? That's the true maturity. Whether you watching the pornography or you looking at the dirty magazine or enjoy the dirty jokes or drinking alcohol or doing drugs, whatever you do behind closed door, that is a true maturity. So would you do that for that small bowl of the carnal desire for the sake of that, would you ignore God's blessing? How often do we ignore God's blessing to satisfy our carnal desire? I don't know you guys, all of you. I don't know all of you guys. I don't know some. I know some of you. But I don't know what you do behind the closed door. It's between you and God. How do you handle it? So if you put yourself in the scale of 1 to 10, spiritual maturity, where are you? Ask yourself. Let's continue in verse 39. Then Isaac his father answered and said to him, Behold, your dwelling shall be the fatness of the earth and of the dew of the heaven from above. By your sword you shall live, and you shall serve your brother. It shall come to pass when you become restless, that you shall break his yoke from your neck. So Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing with which his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, The day of mourning for my father's are at hand. I will kill my brother Jacob. And the word of Esau, her older son, were told to Rebekah. So she sent and called Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, Surely your brother Esau comfort himself concerning you by intending to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice. Arise, flee to my brother Laban in Haran, and stay with him a few days until your brother's fury turns away, until your brother's anger turns away from you, and he forget what you have done to him. I doubt it. And I will send and bring you from there. Why should I be bereaved also of you both in one day? And Rebekah said to Isaac, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of the Heth. If Jacob takes a wife of the daughters of Heth like these who are of the daughters of the land, what good will my life be to me? Rebekah said, Just go there for a few days to my brother's place, and I'll call you. Guess what? She never got to see her son. For over 20 years, her son is gone, and she died in between. This is kind of the result of sin of deception bring to our lives. Let's make application. Number one, we must do godly things in God's way, in God's time, not ours. I may do godly things, not in his way, or not in his time. Guess what? We have to do all three. Godly things, God's way, God's time. Second application, good intentions don't justify acting in the flesh. You might have a good excuse, you might have a good intention for your carnal desires. It doesn't work, folks. Again, we go back to Numbers chapter 32. You have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sin will find you out. If you commit the sin, you know you can pretty much mark it, you can take it into the bank, whatever you think, it will happen. It will show up, no matter what. Third application. Just because we've been a Christian for some time, it doesn't mean that we won't fall for temptation. Great example, Isaac. He walked with God. His birth has a similarity with Jesus Christ. His almost near-death experience had a similarity with Jesus Christ. His marriage has a similarity with Jesus Christ. He was a godly man. God spoke to him directly. And at the end of his life, he was doing his own thing without God's direction. If you think you have everything in the bag because you are mature in the Lord, guess what? There's a verse for you. Let him who thinks stand take heed, lest he fall. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, let's stand up and pray and worship him. Come on down, please.